The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Discover a new relationship and approach to life through the space between. Join spiritual teacher Brittany Mondito for A Moment of Silence, a weekend workshop May 24th to 26th at Omega Institute's beautiful campus in Rhinebeck, New York. Everything we're searching for lies behind what we're running from, Brittany says. Reconnect with your inner sense of safety, grounding, and centeredness. Learn more today at eomega.org/thrive.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Support for this show comes from the Four Winds Society, offering the world's most thorough training in the philosophy and practice of shamanic energy medicine, combining ancient wisdom teachings with cutting-edge neuroscience. Learn how you can begin your journey at thefourwinds.com.
From Spirituality and Health magazine, I'm Rabbi Rami, and this is Essential Conversations. My guest today is Chandresh Bharwaj. Chandresh is a seventh-generation spiritual teacher who says he's here to, and I'm quoting, to guide you on your journey toward stepping into your divine existence here on Earth with every breath. His new book, Break the Norms, Questioning Everything You Think You Know About God and Truth, Life and Death, Love and Sex, is reviewed in the January-February issue of Spirituality and Health magazine. Chandresh, welcome to Essential Conversations.
Thank you, Rabbi Rami. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you. The book is fascinating. I have a copy in front of me. I want to read you something from it a little bit later. But I want to start with the idea that you're a seventh-generation spiritual teacher. It's like the family business, or how does that work?
My father is my teacher, but the interesting thing is he never forced me to do what I'm doing right now. I'm also a finance graduate from Manhattan. I studied in a business school. I got double major in accounting and finance. So what I'm doing right now, I didn't plan this. I always had fascination to explore spirituality, to explore the divine existence, and if that really existed. You know, as a child, if somebody would tell me if you meditate all night, you will experience God next day. So I would awake all night and meditate. I've done that as my childhood fascination. So I had an obsession to really find if that God really exists, to find that divine light, if that really exists, because I was always surrounded by spiritual masters. So I would see them, including my dad, talking about God, spirituality, divine light, blessings, and all that, fancy spiritual terms. And I really wanted to experience it for myself. So I started learning in a very fun way with my father. He, took me to monasteries. I grew up in India, so I went to Catholic school in India. So I had experience of Krishna in my home, experience of Jesus Christ in the school. India is a diverse land, so I also grew up in a town where Dalai Lama lives. So we would often go to his place in Dharamsala, India, and I would experience, Buddha's teachings there. I was exposed to various teachings, but again, practicing spirituality as a profession wasn't my plan. I was planning, to come to US, do my studies, get a good job, and just continue with my life and experience spirituality as a side note and maybe to help people. But it was after I came to US, I started experiencing that I'm not doing justice to my gifts. I'm not doing justice to what I have, and that can be helpful to many people. I either didn't have enough courage or I didn't have enough gratitude for the gifts that I've learned from my teacher. And that's when my journey to break my norms, started. And that's why the first book is called Break the Norms.
Your dad, it was your spiritual teacher.
He is my spiritual teacher, yes.
And his father, your grandfather, was his?
Yes.
So and my it goes back seven generations that way.
Exactly. So my I call him grandpa, but he was my grandfather's real brother, and he never got married. But we all call him grandpa. So it's seven generations. My great-grandfather was teacher of my grandpa, and it just goes back to seven generations. And that's how much we could really track. And it was up to 7 generations. Even when I travel to India, people address me as grandson of His Holiness Ratan Pandurvi. That was his name, and he's a very renowned name among the spiritual scholars there. My dad is a renowned name in Indian community. So I feel honored, honestly, to be in this family. At a very young age, I had strong exposure to spirituality, and that just fascinated me. And I had many questions. And the best thing is that my father encouraged me to live my questions.
The impression I got from what you were saying earlier is that you wanted to know for yourself.
Absolutely.
Whether there was a divine being or source or God or whatever. What did you find?
I found a couple of things. The number one thing that I found and that really helped me was that I have the possibility of becoming Buddha. I can be born as an ordinary human being and I can die as a Buddha. I have the possibility to raise my consciousness. I have the possibility to raise my awareness, and that possibility lives in all of us. That was a very powerful for me because, when we are born, we are given a script of, becoming successful. Do this, do that. Get good grades, get a secure job, get married, have children, and just lead a good life. And you don't really look into your potential. You don't really think about it, in day-to-day lifestyle, unless you're really ambitious, unless you really, really have that courage and willingness. A common man would just live his life, based on what's coming to him every day. So what I really discovered that I have that courage, that strength, to live my potential, to discover my purpose. And it can happen to anyone who's on this path of meditation, who's on this path of questioning everything they think they know about God and truth, life and death.
So let me actually read something from the book. You say that any thought or behavior that's been learned from outside sources, such as parents, religion, culture, and society at large, those are the norms we have to break. Given what you were taught, in what way did you break the norms that your parents or your dad, anyway, passed on to you?
In India, there's a strong, culture of religion, astrology, and they want their kids to become successful. They want their kids to become doctors, engineers. That was the kind of norm that I grew up with. And although in my heart, in my soul, I had obsession and passion for spirituality, to explore divinity, but the people around me, I wouldn't count my father or mother in that category, but the people around me, my relatives, even my friends, the school, the teachers, almost everyone, they had a very clear idea of what I should do. They had a very clear idea of how Chandra should be successful. And part of that was go to US, get a good job, live the American dream. And I still don't know, what American dream really means. But that was the script given to me. And I wanted to learn more from my father. I wanted to learn more about spirituality and practice it. And yet I was not having enough courage. So for me, that learned behavior of, being in that secure comfort zone, that was my biggest norm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the biggest norm. And my father practices a very traditional form of spirituality. He is known as a religious leader in his community. And if you are a religious leader in Indian community, you talk about certain things, you teach about certain things, while I had my own vision of spreading spirituality. After I quit college, after I graduated from college, I assisted him for a year or two, and then I spoke to him how I want to really talk about my own vision of spirituality. And to make it happen, I would need to leave his organization and start one of my own. And in an instant moment, he told me to go ahead with that and pursue what I really want to do. And many people told me, are you going against his teachings? Are you not following that nice traditional spiritual path of your family? But the truth was that growing up in this family, I learned how to break the norms. My father broke many norms. He still breaks norms in his own way. My grandpa, my grandpa's brother, who's our family guru, he never got married. And he lived a life as a scholar, as a monk. And that was also breaking the norm in his own times, right? They were required to get married. He was pressured to be married and to all the things. But he followed his heart and he did what he wanted to do. And I told myself, I think I come from this family, and This is me breaking my own norm, and I'll just see what happens. I took a leap of faith, honestly. I didn't know what will happen. I had no idea of my success or failure, but I just had that faith, and I just followed my heart.
It's also nice that you had your family support. I mean, that your dad didn't say, no, you have to stay within this fold. He let you follow your heart, because as you said. So, and now you're trying to help others do the same thing. I'm interested in this notion that everyone can become a Buddha. That, I mean, the way you put it in the book is each of us has a shining, resilient, infinitely intelligent soul. And I think that part of the work you're doing is trying to help people awaken to or awaken as that infinitely intelligent soul. And I'm just curious how you get people to realize that. Is there a, do you have a specific meditation technique, or what do you do to help people wake up to their true Buddha nature?
That's a good question, Rabbi. When I say everybody has the possibility to become a Buddha, I don't really specifically mean that they should become a spiritually enlightened soul. I mean, what I really mean is they can also become a great painter, a great musician, a great writer. My work is to really help them realize their fullest potential, help them realize their fullest capability. And for me, the safest and the most amazing route is through meditation.
Discover a new relationship and approach to life through the space between. Join spiritual teacher Brittany Mondito for a moment of silence, a weekend workshop May 24th to 26th at Omega Institute's beautiful campus in Rhinebeck, New York. Everything we're searching for lies behind what we're running from, Brittany says. Reconnect with your inner sense of safety, grounding, and centeredness. Learn more today at eomega.org/thrive.
And there's no one meditation that works for everybody. You know, we all are unique souls. We have unique aura, unique ambition. So different meditations work for different people. Although I do have like a signature meditation, and I share that in my group talks. I teach weekly meditations in LA, so I share those universal meditations there. But when it comes to really working with someone, I would work with them and really customize a meditation, and that evolves as they evolve. So if I'm working with someone today, I may not tell them to do the same meditation a year from today. I may modify it a little bit based on how far they have gone, how advanced they have become in their journey.
When you help someone shape their meditation practice, are you reading something in them? Are you creating something that's uniquely for them? What's the interaction between you and your student to help them follow a specific path that's uniquely their own?
So the interaction involves a couple of things. Before we start, I always ask them, what's their intention, you know, in working with me? What do they want to really experience? What do they want to achieve with me? So I keep their goals in my mind, what they want to achieve. And sometimes what they want is not what they need. You know, they may want something, but they need something else to really grow in life. So I go through their ambitions, their desires, and then I give them my own glimpse that this is what I feel about you. And that's mostly intuitive reading that I do with them. It could be through their meditation experience. It could be through the energy. I don't call myself an energy reader, but that's pretty much what happens. I follow my intuition. I follow my instinct about my student. And I ask them a couple of questions to verify my instinct. For example, if they come to me that they want to, they don't know what they want to do, I ask them a couple of questions, I make them sit in meditation, and then I randomly ask them, do you think you can write well? Do you want to write? And they would tell me, yes, I have been wanting to write for the last 5 years. I just don't know how to begin. So I keep getting the clues. I depend on that in this, at that moment, Rabbi. I had no clue. I usually have no clue what to talk to the student, but as they start to meditate with me, as they start to unfold their layers, I just depend on this invisible source, which guides me to guide them. And so far, it's been working out nicely.
Well, that's good. It sounds like life coaching in a way, with an additional spiritual component that comes from your own background. So is that sort of what you're working with?
I would say that, yeah, spiritual coach or life coach. The title that my branding team gave me was spiritual advisor, because they feel that's what I do. So I maybe we can go with that, spiritual advisor. But my work involves really helping them in their life, really giving them a guidance, giving them instruments, tools to really realize their potential.
So I want to switch gears in the few minutes we have left, because you and I have a shared interest in Krishnamurti.
Yeah.
And I'd love, I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with him, but if you can quickly, in a brief, you know, brief amount of time, just what's the attraction for you? How did you learn about him, and what's your connection to him?
I grew up listening to his recordings, reading his books, and he has my idols in my spiritual training has been only really three people. I would say one is, besides my father, it would be Jay Krishnamurti, Osho, and Deepak Chopra. And Jay Krishnamurti was one of my first biggest influence, and I always felt he was very daring, rebellious, a very norm-breaking person. And I go to Ojai to experience his energy there often. And one of the things he said is, truth is a pathless land. And I completely meditate on it, that truth is indeed a pathless land. And all his teachings are very practical. He does not preach. He shares. And that's what makes him such a beautiful, amazing soul.
Well, I don't meditate on him, but I have similar things. I take a spiritual vacation with Krishnamurti and just read some of his dialogues and his talks,
right?
And they're just so cleansing for me. And it sounds like the same is for you. And I would recommend anybody who's in that area, who's ever close to Ojai, California, to go and visit where he lived. There is an energy there that is absolutely freeing. It's very, very powerful individual.
Absolutely.
Then you have these other two influences, Osho and Deepak. So.
Right.
Osho is somewhat controversial in this country. I mean, he was Rajneesh, and then he had to run for his, I guess, he had to run back to India. I'm not exactly sure what happened with Rajneesh, but he rebranded himself as Osho. What's the attraction there?
My attraction to Osho, again, has been his daring, no-nonsense, rebellious personality. There were a lot of topics that he spoke on which was not commonly or popularly talked in India. And as I grew in India, I found his talks very fascinating. I understand he has been very controversial, a teacher in U.S. He had his share of controversy in India also, but his talks, his lectures on certain topics really fascinate me. He was very fearless teacher in that manner. I understand, you know, when you become so big, a lot of things happen in your commune, and he became victim of that, or maybe he was involved in something. I don't want to judge whatever he did, right? But he remains a very deep influence in my journey. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what his actual... I deliberately didn't look it up. I didn't want to bring that part of it into the conversation. But I thought, I was thinking, I think he had a lot of Rolls Royces or something like that. And I thought, well, you've got, how many?
93.
But I figured you're coming out of this finance background, and you're smart enough to avoid that trap.
Absolutely. I don't have even one Rolls Royce yet.
No Rolls Royce. Well, you can dream. And of course, everyone knows Deepak Chopra. I mean, he's so ubiquitous. I mean, he's everywhere. Have you studied with him?
I haven't studied with him. I've been to Chopra Center, attended his lectures. I have been attending his lectures for a long time. I'm blessed to be, you know, part of, be friends with him. I'm friends with his daughter, Malika. She's wonderful. The family is wonderful, and they have blessed me, for the book. They always support my mission. They always support my intentions. So I'm very thankful to Deepak. He's like a friend, a mentor, a guide to me.
So that's nice. I mean, you have your actual grandfather, your uncle, who's also your grandfather, your dad, and then a father figure in a sense with Deepak Chopra. So you're very blessed with these the spiritual support system that allows you to do what you do. I realize I'm putting you on the spot because we have so little time left. But if there's one thing that you could impart to the listening audience that would, I don't know, sort of inspire people to break the norms or challenge their status quo, what could you tell them to do? Something besides just this idea that I just said, but something they might do to help shatter the barriers that they may be facing.
I would say be grateful for your strengths. Be grateful for the skills you have. I wouldn't have Deepak as my mentor and fatherly figure. I wouldn't have my father as my guru if I wouldn't be grateful enough for the gifts I had for spirituality. I would be still working in Wall Street in fear. So the moment I became grateful, I had all these wonderful cheers supporting me, including you at this moment. So you got to be grateful for what you have, and then universe starts to support you.
Well, first of all, thanks for that. That's tough, isn't it? To be grateful for the gifts you have means you have to accept, you have to know what they are, you have to accept what they are. And I think people are really maybe even frightened to do that. So let's give us one comment on that. We're going to have to wrap it up. We are almost out of time.
It's very tough, Rabbi. It's been very challenging for me. I had sleepless nights the moment I understood my gifts and I wanted to nurture them. I still have sleepless nights. But you got to have a passion that's crazy enough to, you know, continue to fuel your strength, to fuel your passion. I was crazy enough to think that I can change the world with my thinking, with my work. And I'm happy that craziness is paying off little by little. You got to be really mad and crazy to pursue your passion. It may not bring you money, success, fame overnight, and that's not the intention or the end goal. You just got to first, you know, make a willingness that, am I going to be honest enough with my strength? Am I going to be honest enough with the gifts I have? And then just make, you know, take that big jump.
That's a good challenge to end with, Chandresh. So thank you very much. My guest today was Chandresh Bhardwaj. He's the author of Break the Norms, Questioning Everything You Think You Know About God and Truth, Life and Death, Love and Sex. You can learn more about his work at ChandreshHeals.com. Chandresh, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Conversations.
Thank you, Rabbi. It was an honor.
For me too. Essential Conversations with Rabbi Rami is a project of Spirituality and Health magazine. Visit spiritualityhealth.com and subscribe to the magazine in either print or digital formats, and download the iTunes app for this podcast. Essential Conversations is produced by Corinne Johnston, and our program coordinator is Alma Tassi. I'm Rabbi Rami. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Liz Winter, and I have been a medium and a spiritual development teacher for over 30 years. On my podcast, All Aboard the Mediumship, I want to share the message with you that there is a wealth of love and comfort available to you from the spirit world. On my podcast, you can experience this comfort and peace for yourself through gentle guided meditations and helpful messages. Make sure you subscribe and follow so you never miss an episode. Part of the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network.